Good morning, my friends, and welcome to another episode of Extraordinary Family Life. So we're all about the tools and strategies and proven principles and practices to live an absolutely extraordinary life. I'm sitting here right now watching, it's before sunrise. I'm just watching it gradually get lighter and lighter. As I look out over Lake Atitlan in Guatemala, and I see the volcanoes and the clouds and the hill and the calm water. Right now, an old Guatemala man just rode past in his little homemade canoe to go about his work for the day. It's amazing. And I know this is a late episode for those who've been following. I have been delayed, and I apologize sincerely for that. We have been out adventuring and had the most extraordinary experiences traveling through southern Mexico, and went to Palenque, which is one of my favorite archaeological sites in the world. And then we went to Agua Azul, which is one of my favorite water holes in the world. And it's just kilometers of waterfalls and pools and this gorgeous blue water, and swimming with the kids. And we drove down and drove across the border into Guatemala. And we've been just playing, remodeling what we call the homestead, where we originally were the co-founders of what's Cultiva International now, helping the indigenous people, just wonderful Guatemalan people up in the highlands and the mountains, helping them with a self-reliance program. And I'm leading right now during this week, leading another humanitarian leadership week and experience with a great group of people. And we've just been having the most wonderful time and creating these epic memories and experiences as a family. It's been extraordinary. But I promised you a story, a couple stories actually from Ecuador. So when Rachel and I went down there, we had the unbelievable privilege to train and prepare and make an attempt at Cotopaxi, which is over 19,000 feet there. And then we went on this. I'm going to have to tell you about that too. Holy guacamole. Went on a private yacht cruise around the Galapagos Islands. Oh my goodness, it was incredible. But I want to tell you a story today about a life that totally transformed. And we were hiking up a peak right outside of Quito. So you fly into Quito, it's up in the mountains. It's gorgeous. Gorgeous city and a beautiful country. I fell in love with that country immediately. And we're hiking this peak called the Ruku Pinchicha. And you take a cable car or tram up to somewhere above 13,000 feet. See, you start hiking that day, you're up there already. And so the clouds were coming in, and the in and out, and the fog would roll in. It was pretty epic. And there's a nice clear trail, you know, kind of heading up. So we're getting up there, and we're training and trying to get in a great condition. And it was challenging. And it was Rachel and I, and then another couple that are friends. And so we're heading up the mountain and cruising along. And we get to this resting spot, and there's another group there. And some of you know this already, I'm a total gear junkie. I just love good, like mountaineering gear and wilderness gear, just because I love being in the wilderness so much. And there's nothing better and sometimes more important than having good quality gear, like the highest quality gear to protect you from the elements and make these adventures not only safe, but more comfortable. And man, I love gear. I've been like this since I was a teenager. This is crazy. I got a job as a teen at a sporting goods store, and of course we had a discount, right? So I'd get my check, my tiny little check, and I would spend it all on my discounts to get great gear. Some of which I still have today. Some of it I have on this trip with us. I mean, that's the importance of good quality gear. Pay. Total side note here, but get good stuff, you guys. Invest. Actually, you know, let me share this real quick. So I was down here and in Guatemala, and we was talking to this, and I've told stories about this man, Juan. I just cherish this man and our friendship, and I've always just respected and admired him, and he's had a tough, tough life. I'll tell his story later, but he's just an incredible human being, and he just says to me today, it was 2 days ago, he said, lo barato es caro. And the direct translation is, the cheap is expensive. And we were just talking about this principle that he's learned, I've learned, you guys have probably learned, that when you try to be cheap and get cheap products, and you're like, well, I'll just save the money, get this cheap product. Well, of course it breaks and it gets ruined, and it, you know, falls apart, doesn't do its job. And so you have to end up replacing it and then replacing and replacing it. When you try to go cheap like that, it ends up being more expensive to be cheap. Right? And I know I learned that early on because I had a real scarcity mentality, a real lack mentality. I was broke. And so we would always try to get the cheapest thing possible. And of course, you end up just paying for it again and again and again. And man, that principle holds true in so many areas of life, from education to your house to your gear to all kinds of things. When we try to be cheap, it ends up being so expensive in more ways than just money, but it's a great principle. So anyways, I'm geeking out about gear, and so I roll up there, and there's this guy, and he's got this really great gear from Europe. And when we lived over there, I noticed that gear. And so I just said, hey, are you from Europe? And he's like, yeah, I'm from England. And he jumps out of his group, comes over, and starts talking. And have you guys had those experiences where you just connect? You have this immediate connection with people? I bet you have. And I love that all over the world. You're just talking, and sometimes, bam, you just have this immediate connection with people. And I had this immediate connection with this man. And within just a few minutes, we're talking, or I tell him what we're doing, what he's, you know, we start getting to know each other real quick. And within just a few minutes, he's like, oh man, I got to tell you my story. And he was all stoked, and we really just kind of bonded immediately. And he told us a quick version of his life story. And I was blown away and wanted to share it with you because there's so many incredible lessons. And I was so happy for him and so proud of him and so excited for him. And the life lessons fit so perfectly with our message. And so I told this story already. The only, you know, really the place where I've told this story is in my Be the Man Masterclass and Tribe. And with that great group of men, we're becoming our very, very best together and supporting each other, cheering each other on, and all the tools and strategies to really be men and feel alive and maximize our potential. But so I want to share his story and the principles and lessons that I learned from hearing it. He was a professional polo player and grew up playing polo and just leaned into it. It was his life. It was everything. And I think you can relate to that. I know I can relate to that. There's things you get into that you just love it. It's just your life. It's you. It's your identity. It's what you think about and you dream about. You eat, drink, and sleep, and you wake up. Everything's about this thing. And it becomes a deep part of your identity. And then he told us that when that time of his life ended, he felt like he had lost everything. He didn't have anything else. And he kind of lost his identity, right? Because he didn't have anything else to turn to. And so when that ended, he turned, he'd already been drinking some, but he became just an alcoholic and went deep into alcoholism. And I think you can probably relate to that as I have, that when we have this identity piece, if we don't have, well, a couple of thoughts here before I continue the story, because this is huge. Years ago, I did a YouTube video, and it was kind of on this idea of, like, who are you without the titles and the stuff and the achievements? Who are you without? And again, some of us put a lot of We put a lot of weight and importance into certain things. For some, it's a car. For some, it's our clothes, our style. For some, it's our house or where we live. For others, it's titles, degrees, achievements. Somehow we've gotten this idea that our achievements is what gives us our worth and our value. And I want to reemphasize, my friends, it's not your achievements that gives you worth. It's not the things you've acquired. It's not your degrees, your diplomas, your certificates, your titles, your positions, your stuff. It's none of that. But until we do the tough inner work, the mind and the soul stuff, until we get past all that, strip all that away and just get down to who are we, independent of all of those things. And I'm not trying to suggest that those things are bad. I'm trying to offer this deep inner identity that if you strip all of that away, you still have an identity of who you are. And there's so many examples of that. Many, many examples of that came out in World War II, for example, when, for example, those who were taken and captured and taken into concentration camps, of course, they lost all of their wealth. They lost their title. They lost position. Everybody's got their head shaved. And, you know, they no longer had their clothes. They all wore the same rags. And they were all thrown in together. And there was no more position in society, so to speak. And no more of the things you'd spent your life acquiring. And it was all stripped away. And many people struggled deeply with that. They just couldn't handle psychologically. They couldn't handle that all the things they'd worked for and tied their identity to were now gone. And, you know, there's other examples of that when somebody goes through a severe injury or an accident and something they built their life around, being a surgeon or being very physically fit, being an athlete, and now can no longer do those things. When those things are stripped away, what are we left with? And I think it's wise for all of us to dig deep and get real clarity of who are you independent of all those things. Who are you as a man? Who are you as a woman? Just in that. Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful process. And maybe you change careers, or maybe you're an athlete and then it ends, or maybe you're a musician and then you stop performing. And this comes up with my coaching clients, women who used to be dancers and they lived for dancing. Dancing was their everything. And then when they started having children, they got married and had children and, you know, took on other roles and responsibilities, they stopped with those things. And it comes up often. We're like, I lived for that. I love it. I want to keep doing it. And there's things we can keep doing, but maybe it's a different way. Now it's not competitive anymore. Now it's maybe, and for sometimes it, maybe it was for other people. You're dancing in front of a crowd. You're performing in front of a crowd. It was for others. And then maybe it switches. And now you just do it for you, just for you, because you love it. Right? Or you do it in a different way, or switch to something else. But this is such a powerful principle and practice to get clear on who you are with all of that stuff and lean into it. And this is one thing I see with men a lot, and women as well, but they set a target, maybe in your teens or 20s, especially when you're going to college, you're like, okay, I'm going to invest so much. And you sacrifice so much to, maybe it's for a degree or a skill set, or you go through, you know, all the school, years and years of schooling and sacrifice and insane amounts of debt to get this achievement, or you pay this price to have the title and the income and the skill, and you know, you set this, your sights on something and you give your whole life to it, and then when you achieve it, maybe in your late 30s or early 40s, now what? You hit your goals. Well, now what? What's there? And I think that's where a lot of people experience, you know, people call it a midlife crisis or something. But what it is this psychological turmoil of like, well, I had this target and I'm there. Now what? And And most of us haven't thought beyond that, right? We haven't gotten clear about what do I want to shoot for next? What do I want to go after? What do I want to do? Who am I beyond this thing? You know, many set their sights on achieving financial targets, right? Wealth or some big achievement. And when they get there and they're like, oh, well, okay. Now what? Who am I? I thought this would define those things, right? And oh man, this is powerful. So I wanted to just dive in deep with that. And I want to invite you and challenge you. Put in the mental, spiritual work to get clear about who you are and who you want to be and how you want to do life independent of stuff and things and titles and practices. And you can love them and you can lean into them and enjoy them and just let them be a part of your life. But then what are you going to do? How are you going to live? Who are you going to be? You know, independent of those things or after those things. Anyway, great life lesson. So he told us he turned to alcohol and just really dove deep into that, and then into drugs, and then he got into work as an investment banker, and went to, you know, was down in Switzerland doing investment banking, and the alcohol continued, but then it started to include, you know, like cocaine, and he was spending time with other investment bankers, and they just had, you know, money and party and just lots of drugs. And of course, when you're not thinking clearly with all the alcohol and the drugs and the turmoil, isn't this interesting for all of us? And you've probably experienced, I know I have, when we're struggling with inner turmoil, and sometimes it includes alcohol and drugs, sometimes other addictions, other vices, other things that, you know, it's these vices we turn to when we don't have clarity, when we have this inner turmoil, we turn to vices or we turn to buffering, right? We're trying to find something to assuage our pain. And we're just struggling with this inner turmoil. And so instead of facing it, instead of looking into the darkness and the abyss, instead of looking inside and doing this real inner work that we all need to do, which is tough and uncomfortable, boy, we just numb ourselves, or we distract ourselves, or we turn to the vices, we turn to buffering, we turn to these avoidance patterns, and we miss it. And so he was in all that. And when you have inner turmoil, you don't make good decisions. When you have addictions, you don't make good decisions. When you're trapped by vices and buffering, you're not thinking clearly. Your brain is not operating at full capacity, my friends. And so you do dumb things. And sometimes you even do dark things. And then now, the guilt and the regret and the pain piles on top of the problem. Right? You with me on this? And some of you experienced this. And some of you are still struggling with regret and remorse and guilt for mistakes you've made and things you've done. And that, maybe that's, you know, that's a separate topic. And I've talked about that before, and I'll share more things about it again. But boy, we got to work through forgiveness there. Forgiveness of others, forgiveness of ourselves. And create these transformations. That's why I'm telling this story today, is the story of transformation and hope and encouragement and an invitation and a challenge from me to you personally to create transformation in your own life and to help others transform. But we all need to be clear about this stuff, identify it, see it, see the vices for what they are, see the addictions and the distractions for what they are, see the buffering behaviors for what they really are. Not better than they are, which, you know, often people do. Like, oh no, it's not so bad. I got this. And he did that too. You know, I was just drinking, partying. This is what we're all doing. Nobody did. I got control of this. And he told himself that, right? That he was like, no, that's good. That's all good, right? And he wouldn't admit, for all those years, he wouldn't admit that he was really an alcoholic and a drug addict. And doing those things, and you know, you just kind of, you excuse it away, you justify it, you rationalize, But my friends, see it for what it is. Not better than it is, not worse than it is. Sometimes we beat ourselves up and make it so bad we think there's never going to be hope or forgiveness, and that's not true either. And so he finally, he had done some things that were really bad that he just deeply regrets. And he's just like, what am I doing? This is terrible. You know, and he started to realize that things that were getting out of control. And then one day he told us this story. And this was amazing. It all happened just right there on the mountain while we stopped to pause for a second. This unbelievable story. And he told us that he got on a bus in Switzerland or a train. And he started talking to this girl. And of course, he'd lost his health, this phenomenal health that he had. He was playing polo. And he was overweight. And his face was all swollen and red. And he was just struggling under just the destruction of the body that happens with any of those vices, alcohol and drugs and just the junk. And he started to talk to this girl and was kind of trying to pick up on this girl. And she just started screaming at him. Just unloaded on him in this train. And it was a wake-up call for him, right? And just this kind of, when those situations like that happen and they're tough and they're uncomfortable and they hurt, it's almost a way where someone or something is holding up a mirror and saying, look at yourself. Look at yourself. And again, another great lesson, life lesson for all of us is we ought to not only look for and experience those moments and embrace them and let them come into our lives and let those kind of people, but we got to stop enough and be humble enough, be cognizant enough to say, wait a minute, what's going on here? Is somebody holding up a mirror? Sometimes there's problems in marriages or with children and problems at work, financial problems, or sometimes a health issue or things like that. I mean, you can't, maybe you've gotten so overweight, you can't comfortably fit next to somebody on a bus or in an airplane. And then somebody's holding the mirror saying, hey, you've let yourself go too far. Maybe it's a relationship that's damaged or you're consistently having problems with other people, right? It's interesting, you'll meet people and they go from one job to the next job to the next job to the next job, and they always complain about the people there, and it's always the boss, or it's always the workers, or always these things, or they move from neighborhood to neighborhood. Oh, the people are, and they always blame the people, and then sometimes many times, it ain't the grapes, right? You guys know the story, how I love that parable, or that fable. It ain't the grapes. If you have a problem, consistently, it's always the other people, right? It's always the situation. You only stop. That's a mirror saying, there's a common denominator here, and it's you. You're the problem, right? You're the thing that's holding you back. And if you've never been able to succeed at anything, or always have, I'm being extreme here, right? Because those are the excuses we use, the justification, the rationality. Oh, it's always them. It's always them. It's like, well, actually, it's probably you. And you have to own it. And so the situation, the people come up and those uncomfortable things, that it holds up the mirror and says, take a good look at yourself. So I think we should accept those experiences when they come and see that God and the universe are trying to teach us things. And other people are too. But we can actually even seek out experiences that are mirror type experiences where we have to face ourselves and who we are. And again, the key to this is what we're doing on this humanitarian trip I'm leading this week. We test ourselves. We push ourselves. We push past our limits mentally and emotionally and spiritually and physically, socially, financially, right? We hit all those things. We should constantly, those are what I call the Fantastic Five. And we should be pushing those limits and pushing ourselves up against those limits all the time. And we should be looking for, seeking out, having experiences with people and places and things that we're challenging ourselves, so the mirror pops up and we get to take a good, honest look at ourselves and say, who am I, what am I doing, and where am I going? Well, anyways, he said he went home or went to a hotel or went back that night and just looked in the mirror and was like, I have a severe problem. He said he called his parents and said, hey, I'm an alcoholic. I have a problem and I've got to stop. And so he stopped. He stopped. He remembers that date. He actually sent me, we've been messaging back and forth on Instagram, and he sent me that date, that day he stopped. And he's like, I'm done. I'm done. And so he stepped away from all of that and that life and the people that he called friends that he said they weren't friends. They were doing bad things and they were a terrible influence, right? He was even like, man, you stay away from those kind of people. He mentioned some people that just have been just toxic and terrible. And so he leaned in to big adventures, right? Long runs, and I think it was just marathons, maybe ultra marathons, maybe some triathlons. And when we met him, of course, he was training for big mountains, and he was on a trip in Ecuador to climb all these huge peaks, and he ended up climbing 6 or 7 major peaks, including Cotopaxi and then Chimborazo, which goes over 20,000 feet. And he leaned into it, and he showed us this picture where we're there talking. He's like, I got to show you this, man. I got to show you this. And it was this contrast from, you know, what he looked like then. He just overweight, just you could just tell unhealthy. And then it put it side by side to this picture where he was just ripped, just absolutely shredded with a six-pack and in phenomenal condition. And right now, during this time of his life, he's just leaning in deeply and intensely to physical challenges that are creating a massive transformation, of course, mentally and emotionally and socially and spiritually as well. And I think that's a great model for all of us. The physical, you guys, the physical is this powerful starting point. There's actually a young man on this trip. He's just finally clicked for him. He's like, he's like, man, I'm going to get healthy. And he started to, he's just turned 15 while I was on this trip, and he's like, he started devouring all these books that I'd recommended about health, and it started there. And he's like, okay, I'm going to take my body and get it in a great condition. And then, of course, it naturally led to all these other important areas of personal development. And this 15-year-old kid is just devouring personal development books like crazy, can't get enough of them, and changes his life, transforming everything, getting clear about who he wants to be and how he wants to live. But it starts with the physical. And your body, my friends, I want to drive this home. Your body is the only place you get to live. Let that sink in. The only place you ever get to live in life is in your body. That's it. It's your house, and you only get one of them. And everything you do is building your own house. And so you have to get clear about the kind of life you want to live. Get crystal clear about that. What kind of life do I want to live? And then it's easy to start determining what kind of body you need and want to live that life. All right, I came up again recently with one of my coaching clients. She wants to dance again. She loved dancing years and years ago, and now she's in her 50s and she wants to dance. And we had this great conversation. It's like, hey, well, look. And she even said it. She's like, I want to dance again just for me, just for fun. I want to dance. But in order to dance, I have to have the body that can dance. And that's her motivation now. She's already lost a lot of weight and she's getting in great shape. She's like, that's my motivation. She's like, I don't necessarily like working out or exercising the other stuff, but I want to dance. And so I want a dancer's body. Right? And let it be that driving force to get your body into a condition that you can live the life you want to live. Huge, huge lesson. So he's diving in, right? And transforming his body. And I want to give that invitation and challenge to you. Start with your body. Because your body is the vehicle for everything you do. And it is the filter through which you experience everything in life. Me too. All of us. The body's the starting point. And a lot of life is limited for you. And a lot of experiences you're not experiencing to the full. Because your body's not in the condition to do it. And of course there's a direct connection to your brain. So it's the body and the brain, right? It's the psychology and the physiology. They are so connected, far, far, far more connected than we think. And what's happening in your gut literally is connected to your brain. And then, man, everything, it's all there, right? So he's transformed his body. He's gotten healthy. He's chasing down these huge challenges and climbing those mountains and going those distances. It tests you on so many levels. It's no longer just physical. You have to reach all your limitations, and you have to face, you know, the darkness, and sometimes face the demons and face the problems and face you and create this transformation. And so he picked this aim of these intense physical challenges all over the world. And so there's another great lesson there. What do you need to aim for in order to reach upward? What are you doing in your life right now that's hard? What are you doing that's hard? What are you pursuing that's really hard? And don't kid yourself. Don't tell yourself stories here. Right? Sometimes, just being alive is hard. Just getting through the week is hard. Just having kids is hard. Just being married is hard. Oh, no. And they can be hard, right? But sometimes, in fact, most of the time, when those things are hard, it's because, you know, here's the mirror again. It's you. And sometimes we think things are hard only because we're soft. But when we voluntarily choose really hard things, then we start to see what we're made of. And then we realize how much we can and ought to grow. And we really start to grow. When you chase hard things, it transforms you. And you become a better person, a stronger person. Whoa, man, it's so important. I can't emphasize this enough. We have to regularly be choosing hard things. You know, in life, we're going to experience hard things. All of us are, right? But I've found, and I've in my own life and with many others, and I've been through some insanely hard things, things that were thrust on me, and things that I chose. And I have found again and again in my own life and the lives of people all over the world that I worked with, when we choose our challenges, it actually either decreases or removes or makes the other things that come along with life, it makes those better. And so you can choose to just suffer and endure the crap that comes with not choosing challenges, or you can lean in and do hard things on your own and grow and prepare and develop yourself so that it makes the other things easier and more bearable. And you actually get to this point where you're like, bring it, I got this. And you see challenges and obstacles is like, all right, fantastic. Here's another opportunity to get after it instead of, oh no, why me? So horrible. You met people like that? Have you experienced it yourself? Where it just seems to be one trial after another? It's like God and the universe just keep trying to warn you, keep trying to hold up the mirror, and you just suffer along. And then when you finally decide, no, I'm going to do my own hard things, then all of a sudden all of that changes. Again, it's a total transformation of our lives. Man, I love this stuff. I'm geeking out about this. There's so many great principles here from this story. And so I want to invite you, well, again, ask you, what hard things are you pursuing? Shoot me a message. Connect with me on social media, Facebook or Instagram. Shoot me an email, get on the website. Should we mess? What hard things are you doing? What are you chasing? Whew. And you men, you need to be in our masterclass and in our tribe. So you can cheer each other on. We have the support and the tools, the resources. You need to be a part of that tribe. And we're chasing hard things, doing big things. It's really awesome. What are you learning right now? And I mean really learning. Most people stop any kind of learning after their last graduation. How many books are you reading in a month? What are you trying to memorize? What languages are you studying intensely and like really learning? What are you going after? What are you aiming for? What noble aim do you have to reach upward physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, socially, financially? What noble aim do you have that's keeping your head up? Instead of looking always at the ground and walking around in the garbage and all you see is garbage in life, what's going to lift your sights? I'm looking out at this volcano right now, I've climbed it multiple times, and it's a challenge to get up there, but it's a perfect. And we're doing a big volcano at the end of this trip. Like, what? We're gonna go jump off some big cliffs today. I love this stuff. But what summit are you looking at? What are you shooting for? What do you need in your life right now to propel you upward? Now, some might say, well, he turned from one vice to another. He went from drugs and alcohol to now, these physical adventures or challenges. And maybe that's the case. I know people who've turned to, adrenaline type things. They're just constantly pushing those limits and doing crazy things. And that's maybe that's their vice, or maybe that's and we can't know, right? We can't know for sure, and only the individual, his or herself, knows for sure what the real motive is in God, right? But is it a vice or is it an aim? And I think it depends on the motive and the person. Because it can, turning to the weight room or fitness, it can become just another outlet. But, and maybe another addiction, or maybe another distraction. So I get it, that's possible, right? It might be buffering. You might turn to those things and you're just buffering away. But let's examine that for a minute. Is even if we turn to better buffering, it's a step in the right direction. And then we can get it clear in our heads and in our hearts how we're going to do things and how we're going to live. And if health and fitness and doing challenging things and having these noble aims becomes part of your purpose and direction, and maybe for some of us, it just becomes a way to stay out of trouble. It becomes something to aim at that keeps us away from the TV or from the old friends that weren't friends, they were frenemies. And maybe that's the case, but you start choosing those things as a step in the right direction until you get to this place where you're fully grounded and clear about who you are and how you do life, and you choose them because that's what you want to do. But sometimes we need to do those things, and it's a step in the right direction. We're leveling up. Oh, my friends, I'm just reaching out with love here. Love you guys and want all of us. I'm so passionate about this. This is my life's work, to help all of us live the best life we possibly can and to create total transformations in our own lives, and then to become people of influence that can help others create transformation in their own lives. And so I wanted to pass along this story and pass along these principles and practices. Lean into it, right? Remember, who are you without the external stuff and the titles and achievements? What vices have you turned to that are keeping you trapped and holding you back? What are you currently using in your life as a buffer? And these avoidance patterns. What mirrors do you need to look in right now and just outright honest look in the mirror and recognize those problems? What are you holding on to from the past? Mistakes, failures, problems, insecurities, pain points, grudges that you need to let go of. Then what is it you need to aim for? What noble aim do you need in your life? And we always, always, always must have a noble aim. And it'll shift, it'll change, you guys. A few of us will have one that we'll just pick and hold on to for the rest of our lives. And one of mine is helping people transform their lives and live as their very best self, to maximize potential, to create transformations. I'm doing my life's work, and I'm going to keep doing this till the end. And I'm leaning in with men. That's going to be a part of it. And then there are other things that will come in and be there for a time and come in and go out, and you'll hit some things. And it's wonderful, right? It's part of this journey. And you can have multiple purposes, right? It's not this is one great life purpose. You might have multiple ones. It might be different for different time periods of your life. What do you need in your life right now to propel you upward? What challenges, what hard things, what education, what pursuit? What do you need to make you hungry and actually get the results? And all of these, and all these questions and all this journey, and this is why I do what I do, because it's tough. And we need the tools. We need the resources. We need the training. We need the training, right? Remember, Archilochus said, We do not rise to the level of our expectations. We fall to the level of our training. And Will Durant said that excellence is an art that is won and earned, I'm adding that, is won by training and habituation. We need this training. And that's why I built the masterclass. That's why Rachel and I have our courses on marriage and parenting and group coaching and extraordinary family life and lifestyle. So get the tools, get the resources, join those things, invest in yourself, invest in your family, invest in your future. Like, stop. I just want to reach through this here and just give you a huge hug and look you right in the face and say, stop. Stop living below your potential. Stop staying stuck. Look in that mirror, whatever that is, and be willing to just be done. And when my new friend, he had summited Chimborazo, right? Over 20,000 feet. I sent him a message of congratulations. And how awesome. I was proud of him. It was a huge achievement. It was so hard. And he said that. He said the last few hundred meters were so unbelievably hard. And I was like, you did it, man. It was fantastic. And he said, yeah, I cried. He said, I cried. He sent me a message. He said, 4 years ago, I couldn't even make my own bed. Right? Couldn't even make my own bed. And now I'm achieving these things. And he said, I shed some tears up there. It was really special, really powerful. And he's becoming a new man. Becoming his best self, actually. The true man he always was. And it's in there. He's just letting out and leaning into it. And so I'm watching the sunrise now. It's just shining through the clouds. Just and brightly shining on this one spot of the water here in the lake. Just glistening with brightness. And my friends, there's that hope and joy and excitement to create a total transformation in your own life, to go where, you know, to totally overcome your own inadequacies and incompetence and ignorance and achieve and do remarkable things, things you maybe never have dreamed of, things you never even hoped to be able to do. You can do them. You can be that man. You can be that woman. And you can do this. And I can help you if you want some help, to reach out to me. The coaching or trainings, the courses, whatever it is. Just do it, my friends. Just do it. Life can be absolutely extraordinary. Let's make it happen. Sure love you guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this tribe and a part of this community. Thanks for wanting to be your best. Thanks for the integrity and the goodness of your hearts and who you are. I have this, I don't know what it's a gift, I guess. It's just this love. I love people, and I have this gift to be able to see who people can become. And I can, in my mind's eye, I can see you, and I can see your potential, the greatness you already have in you, the genius that's there, the awesome sauce that's inside, and you just got to let it out. And lean into it and be your best self and live an absolutely extraordinary life. Love you guys. Awesome is always an option. Reach upward.